Would you all introduce yourselves, please?
George Aaron Mitchell.
Liam Anthony Matthews.
Henry Mark Riddell.
Tom Kelly.
And you are a member of this organization called...
Eagles.
Which nobody knows how to spell, and nobody wants to really know. I'm going to rattle off all the things that I should be asking you in one paragraph. Let's see, Leeds, you weren't born there, you met there. Okay, we've covered that one. Around 2009 or 2008, depending on who you talk to, you had a debut single written after about a week together. There's a famous open letter, which we're going to have some fun with, because, you know, you haven't been asked about that enough. That open letter is now closed with an ass and penis shot. Let's see. What else have we got? I think that's enough. Tell me something about this band that actually counts in some way, shape, or form. Or, by the way, you can lie profusely.
We started the band in medieval times.
Medieval times. Now, wait, now back then, was it Knights of the Round Eagles?
Yeah, it was some... Well, actually, it was a square table with, like, five legs.
I like the fact that you had an acoustic guitar at the age of 13 and you couldn't make it sound angry enough. That's a really interesting way of saying that it was really nice that you were bought one of these things.
Yeah, it was a sad time for me. I just wanted to play metal music, and I couldn't.
So how did you survive with the acoustic guitar? Did you suddenly just start playing Dylan songs?
I put it down and didn't play it for a long time.
Who is Old School Jeff?
Old School Jeff is a man who is very important. And he used to skate old school skateboards, so I just decided to call him Old School Jeff. But then he used to talk to me because he knew that I was into punk music and stuff. And then he used to sit down and show me his, like, 8-track recordings that he'd done. And, like, it was, like, this sort of, like, rockabilly sort of punk sort of stuff that he used to create. And it was really good.
So that inspired you to say, oh, wait a minute, maybe I can do this.
Yeah, and then he'd like, trade me CDs and I'd trade him stuff and then... He'd tell me about, like, the old days and stuff like that. And then I used to go to punk gigs in Nottingham, and then I was only, like, 15 or 14, and he used to buy me drinks, so it was like a saviour.
So you are either punk or post-punk or new wavy, punky, wavy, wavy, punky, punky, wave, wave, punk, punk, wave, punk, wave. I don't buy any of that, okay? So how do we kind of... bust through this and just say you're writing about sexual abuse and heroin and watching people decay and crush dreams and religion and dead-end jobs. I mean, do you want to wear a badge that says punk? Are you okay with wearing that badge, or do you just want to wear the badge that this is the music you make?
I'd rather have the badge that says this is the music we make, but for a idle-minded people, it's very easy just to stick the badge of punk on everything, isn't it? There's terms for everything. Punk is just one of those words where it's got so many meanings and so many...
It's irrelevant. It might have been relevant for, like, 2 or 3 years when it was, like, a movement and it had its urgency. Now it's an aesthetic for a sound and it's an aesthetic for a look. That's what people judge as punk now, I think.
It was only a journalist who wrote the word punk down.
I do not care... for a label of that sort of terminology. It's just silly. But when it comes to things like getting an NME award and things like that, I think that's just pure, like, it's just a pure industry sort of thing.
But you're okay with that, right? I mean, you don't reject the fact that it's kind of cool, that it's going to get you more people to listen to the music, right?
Yeah, because that's what we're about. We want as many people to listen to our music as possible.
Okay, this is kind of a deep question. Did the gas man get fired for mixing up his brains? Any good gas man should know his brains.
He should do.
Don't you think that if you're going to be a gas man, that your number one job in life, aside from making people sure people don't get asphyxiated, is knowing your brains.
That's very true. Knowing your brain is a very important thing.
We were all at work. And
the police show up.
Yeah, well, first it was a gas man because they had a warrant to enter our house because there was a dispute over a bill which we hadn't paid. So they had legal right to enter our house without our presence and authorization.
Oh,
so, like, we live in a student area of town, obviously realised it was an art project of some sort and just left it at that. But I think the gas man was spooked and he didn't finish turning the gas back on and he just left. But our locks had been changed. And the people next door to us have a tyre garage. They were working out the front, they're like, what the fuck is it being, everything like that. What's his brains in your basement? And that was the last we heard of it. There was no follow-up, no letter left or anything to even say that the beam, but the gas had been switched off.
The day jobs are finally gone?
Yeah, thank God. Well, thank
so there's a living here? There's actually a living off of this?
There's a grey area between leaving your job and making a living, and we're sort of still in that grey area. We're touring a lot, so it's hard to judge whether you're making a living because you're not really living like a day-to-day normal life. You're not having the same expenditures. You come back and your bills are on the mat, and that's when you find out if you're keeping on top of things. So we'll see. We'll give it a couple of months. It's just like it's like a business. If you start a business, you're not going to be like earning money straight away. You've got to put a lot in before you get anything back. So hopefully we will be able to cover our costs of living.
But you have gone with a label. What was that like? Who found who? How did you decide? All of that lovely business stuff.
It was at South by Southwest, and we just played a show, and Tim Putman, he came up to us and was like, oh, that was really good. I was very hot and decided to drink water and walk off, and no one else talked to him. And then later on he came up to us when we was all having a drink, like, at the end of the night, and he ended up trying to smack the bartender or something. He got thrown out of the club, and then he gave us a record label deal.
And you love, I can tell, you love the whole business side of this, because, you know, I read your Facebook feed, your Twitter, you obviously are on there every single day with personal messages. You do so much. Playing here tonight, playing there tomorrow, next, this club, 8 p.m.
But, we're not very vocal.
But you know, Bill Murray, Jules Holland, and I love this. We put our music into places where people can't stand it and wake up a few grannies.
We don't have like a certain demographic of people that we're trying to market our music towards. We just do our own thing. Same. Yeah.
If you're doing something that everybody likes, you're doing something wrong. It hasn't got enough. Yeah, it hasn't got enough. I don't think it's got much conviction. Like, you're sitting on the fence. I think if you're doing something that everyone can find palatable, I think, like, if you're doing like interest and stuff, it always rubs some people the wrong way and gets some people really passionate. It's like you can't win everyone. I find it just as satisfying, like, if someone comes up and they've enjoyed our gig and I see someone slagging us off and we've rubbed someone the wrong way as well, it's like you can take satisfaction from both.
Too. Yeah.
I want you to interview each other.
Go ahead.
Hey up, mate.
3 minutes about anything.
What's your favourite colour, you absolute twat?
I don't like you.
He haven't answered his question.
He did.
He never said his favourite colour.
He said, I don't like it.
How was that chicken sandwich? Because I'm getting one soon. I want to know what it's like. It's average. Here's one for Henry. Are you going to buy a pack of cigarettes tonight?
No.
Yeah, I'll buy some cigarettes tonight, yeah.
Henry smokes. To all people in the world listening to this, Henry smokes cigarettes. It's killing him slowly. Each cigarette he smokes, he is dying every day, just like everyone. Next question is, what's your favourite colour, you twat?
I love you.
I think maybe there will be an hour of what's your favourite colour. I think that's your TV show.
If we had a TV show, it would be amazing. It'd just be five people just sat down, just going, I don't know, what to say. And then crying and, like, mardying and that. And that's it.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich, and here's what it is. It's two of your songs on the outside as the bread, and then songs by others in between. And what I do is I play 40 minutes of solid, uninterrupted, no jingles, no nonsense. So it's my little psychological terror of actually trusting that you're going to give me 40 minutes worth of stuff that's actually worth playing.